and welcome to Mindset, an HCD vidcast, where we dive into the world of applied consumer neuroscience and market research with leading experts in the field. My name is Michelle Nagella, PhD in behavioral neuroscience and Director of Research and Innovation at HCD.
And I'm Catherine Ambrose, the Manager of Behavioral and Marketing Sciences with HCD. As your hosts, we are going to act as the buzzkills for the buzzwords, taking time to critically think about the limitations and pitfalls of emerging trends and topics within the field to help you identify what innovation has a lot of untapped potential or is too good to be true.
Now, HCD is a full-service research house which provides research capabilities on consumers by looking at how they perceive, evaluate, and respond to different types of stimuli, such as looking at product experiences, communications, or just general consumer and shopper experiences. We use a combination of tools that come from psychology, physiology, neuroscience, as well as the traditional methods that people typically use to see how they experience different stimuli. That stimuli can range from the early stages of exploration all the way through the final product validation tests. This is what we refer to as applied consumer neuroscience.
So stick around for more curious conversations as we chat our way through the ever-evolving space of consumer science. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Mindset. It is Catherine and Michelle here, and we are joined by a very special guest we have today, a veteran of the vidcast / podcast. She was with us for our first season, Allison Gutkowski. Allison, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. Yes, and if you hadn't watched the episode I was on previously, I'm the Director of Global Research here at HCD. And I have a long-standing history dating back to, I think 2011 or something like that. It's been a really long time. I will say I started with HCD as an intern. So whether you count those years or not is up to you. But I've been around quite a long time, really grew through the ranks. Now I'm the Director of Global Research. So basically in charge of all of our global research, managing clients, really kind of on the forefront of the sales team. So happy to be here. I'd love to talk about this stuff.
Allison, I work a lot with you, you know, especially over the years and, you know, like before Catherine joined, Catherine and I do a lot of like brainstorming and coming up with new ideas, but, you know, Allison, since you're so involved with the clients and understanding their needs and sort of interpreting their needs into actual projects, you know, some of these methodologies that we have are things that you've really been at the forefront of creating, right?
Yeah, it's great because I am kind of the direct line of communication between our internal innovation team, who I'm always badgering, right, for new things to talk about, new things to with our clients, because it's a great way to keep in touch, just share the new and innovative things that we're doing. So a lot of that has come from just sharing those conversations that we've had with clients and really hearing their needs and seeing some really common themes coming up. And what we'll talk about today, and I won't jump too far ahead, but really kind of stemmed from having to find, I'll call it a middle ground between something as kind of involved as physiological research to being able to integrate something that can be done online or much easier.
Because it's not always about creating a totally new technology or a totally new methodology. Sometimes it's about finding things that are already working and then finding the best way to fit them together to come up with new insights, right? Synergy. Right. So alone, they, you know, two tools might be really good. You put them together and they're even better together. And I think that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. And also, like you said, I think when people start thinking about wanting to do neuroscience or psychology research, you know, incorporating that into their consumer work, they often jump to the fancy, cool tools. Right. So they're always like, oh, but can we put some gear on someone's head? And that's, you know, not always the best answer. Sometimes it's overkill for budget. Right. Sometimes it's overkill for what they actually need. And sometimes it doesn't even answer what they need. Right.
Exactly. Right. Budgets exist. In a very magical world, we could always do whatever we wanted and approach these research questions from 50,000 different ways. So we can have the most holistic understanding of what we're looking at, but that's not reality. And what we have to do is really say, well, what is your research question? What do you want to achieve? And sometimes neuroscience, it's not going to answer that. And when we talk about simplicit, and I know you guys on here have talked a lot about implicit, that's great when we're talking about marketing language and marketing words, right? Neuroscience is not going to give you if someone feels that something is healthy, right? Or hopeful. Those aren't words or even emotions or mood states that we can measure physiologically, right?
There's no place in the brain that is specific to healthy, right. You know, that alerts that there's an association there.
Right. So when we think about simplicit, and I think we'll get into it, but it really gives you that beautiful kind of combination of looking at things from more of a nonverbal perspective, as well as the implicit side.
And so this is really born. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Catherine.
Well, I was just curious, have you noticed across the board, you mentioned that you spend a lot of time talking to the clients and picking out those trends. What led you to simplicit that you kept hearing over and over again to bring you to say, okay, this is becoming a pattern?
I think a lot of it was very much so in what we'll call the wellness space. So whether it's products or communications that are meant to drive some type of, let's say, functional benefit or mood space. And those mood spaces were a little bit more higher order, right? They're not looking at necessarily the kind of fundamental physiological states, but more psychological and higher order, which is where the simplicit really came in, because we still wanted those basic kind of pleasantness, arousal, and dominance that you can kind of draw a dotted line to physiological measures with, but that marketing language and those higher order states were even more important than kind of the physiological ones.
So let's take a step back and discuss what it is. Mm-hmm. So what I was going to say is that often the simple approach ends up being the best approach, right? Mm-hmm. When you overcomplicate things, you end up with overcomplicated data, overcomplicated research design. It's just difficult to run. But sometimes simple is really the best way to go. And that is kind of the driving force behind this product called Simplicit, right? There's a couple things to it. It not only is it simple and relatively easy to do, but it only has two components. And those two components are also very simple. The first being the S of the name, which is SAM, or self-assessment mannequin, which is a psychological tool for looking at, as Allison was saying, three aspects of mapping an emotion, and that's pleasure, arousal, and dominance. And you may have heard Catherine and I talk about a billion times about the different, you know, theories of emotion. But this is one of the theories that is called sort of the multi-dimensional theory. So by being able to look at these three dimensions of emotion, you can actually map out how someone is feeling. We have other episodes on it, so you're welcome to check it out and other information. The other part of Simplicit, so that's the S, is self-assessment mannequin, SAM. And then the implicit part is implicit, right? So you're just looking at the implicit associations that people have between the product or the concept or the brand with certain words. Maybe it's healthy. Maybe it is, you know, pleasing. Maybe it is, you know, it could be an emotional word. It could be a product attribute word. But the idea is that if you can use these two tools together, you know, you're getting this emotional mapping from self-assessment mannequin and you're getting the associations from the implicit together, you have a better understanding of what's going on with the consumer. So hence was born Simplicit.
And I think it's really important to stress that they both complement each other really, really nicely, where SAM, you have to go off of the pleasure, arousal, dominance, those three tiers, whereas you can't just throw in random things like you were saying, healthy. You can't just throw that on a SAM scale and try to make it be the same type of validation that the PAD model has. So it's really nice that we can take the PAD model and then pair it with something like implicit that you can choose specific attributes to really get an idea of both the, you know, the emotional idea and complexity that we get from SAM, as well as really targeted attributes that we can get from implicit.
Yeah. Let me go back, Catherine, to what you were saying, and maybe, you know, insert graphic here, but talking about how SAM is validated. And I know you all have talked about this before, but I bring, right, the voice of the client. And what we're always hearing with Sam, right, is it looks very antiquated. It looks very outdated.
It is.
Called, yeah. Right? Like they want the graphics back. So I just want to talk a little bit about that and the reason kind of why we have to still use that and the reason that it's so important to really stick to what's been validated.
I think, first of all, it is validated and it is the original work, from the 80s, PAD developed, much earlier than that, 60s and 70s. But, looking at the SAM, the actual mannequins, the faces and the bodies and the cartoon figures, yeah, they are antiquated. But part of the reason for that is that they become more neutral, right? So if they are too interesting or too animated, they can actually have an effect on the participant, right? So they might read different things into it. So you want it to be as simple, again, as possible to not have any sort of influence. I feel like the whole purpose of SAM is to have that nonverbal scaling, right? So you're not influencing people with any words. You're not influencing them with the images themselves. You're just providing a visual scale that they can use to get at these three dimensions to map their mood.
It's very intuitive.
Yeah. And I love, nonverbal. We're talking about something that's just this pictorial scale and why it marries really beautifully with something like implicit, right? Is because we have marketing language in implicit, right? Every culture, every language, even if you're directly translating a word, can have very different, slightly different types of meanings. If you were to say the word healthy in English versus French versus German versus Portuguese, what are the slight nuances, cultural nuances that just that direct translation has? And we do our very best, right, to account for that and to make sure the translations are appropriate and definitions and so on and so forth. But that's just the nature of language. So this is really beautiful when it becomes this nonverbal type of scale with a little bit more of a verbal cultural type of method.
SAM's interesting because not only can it go across culture and languages, but it works really well with different ages as well. So you can use it with people who can't read, including children or illiterate populations. And so that is very handy. So in thinking of where would we, even use something like Simplicit? I know in my mind, I was thinking a lot of at the time, when we were coming up with this, I was thinking a lot of, even characters that you might have in a marketing campaign, or even characters in a TV show, right? So if you wanted to look at a pilot and see how things were, affecting people, you could look at just the image of the character, the spokesperson even, and get the emotional reaction people have to that person. Just immediately, what is their emotional representation using SAM? But then you can follow that up with the implicit to start to get an idea of like what they associate that person with. So is that then aligned with your brand? So maybe you can map out that emotional response and those associations with the brand or maybe the TV show or whatever it might be. And just see how well these things align. So what's the simplicit of the spokesperson? What's the simplicit of the brand? Something like that.
And even further, right? We know even that different, let's say, emotions that we may be testing implicitly have so many different dimensions, right? We think about the word happy, right? It could be so many different things. Just thinking about how, let's say, arousal levels are different, right? I can be very happy yet very unaroused, kind of in content and serene space. I can be happy and also aroused and more ecstatic or excited. So it gives us even more dimension to some of the words that we're testing implicitly because we know how complex emotion is. You can't boil it down to like 10 words and test it implicitly. It needs a lot more dimension than that. And that's what SAM brings so simply, right? Not to open and kill it, but really
the word easily. Of the day.
It's literally three scale questions, right? Yeah. And sometimes we're doing this multiple times. So to repeat this measure, SAM within a study, it can just be, seconds added on to the overall design. Yet the value that it adds is worth so much more than just those couple of seconds.
And could you elaborate a bit on the value that it adds? I know Michelle was alluding a bit to the idea of congruency and having things really fit together. On a previous episode that we had done with you, we talked about brand harmony. So I do think it fits in here really nicely. Could you touch a bit on that and how Simplicit fits into the brand harmony concept?
Sure. So it looks at it from a couple different dimensions, and I'll just, let's say, pick an example and kind of go from there. So if we are trying to understand, right, does this specific, let's say, concept match the brand overall, right? Because we can be creating, let's say, new products or new campaigns that are great in a vacuum, but ultimately, are they really true to our brand identity? Is that definitely going to fit within our family and be a no-brainer for the consumer? And it really be cohesive and harmonious. When that's not the case, sometimes it's really difficult for us to say that or articulate that, right? We can, you know, if you have a product concept for a specific product and it's for, I don't know, let's say toothpaste and the brand is Colgate, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to some degree fit, right? That makes sense. That's a toothpaste company. They're creating toothpaste. That makes sense. But it's a little bit more difficult to articulate when you get really into the different nuances. So by using, or, you know, small innovations or kind of changes that are being made, are we going too far where it's, you kind of get this disconnect between what the consumer expects from the brand and then what they're ultimately experiencing? And yes, we do that with Implicit, right? Does the attributes that are, you know, perceived from the concept, does that match the perceptions of the brand? But we can do the same for Sam as well, right? Does that overall general emotional experience match or really enhance that overall brand experience?
So when you make that mood map, you end up with the four quadrants, right? So you have, you know, the quadrant that is, you know, the happy area, the excited happy area, and then the more relaxed, pleasant area. You also have the relaxed and negative area that might be more boring as opposed to relaxing, right? And then you have the annoying, angry area, which is excited and negative, right? So, you know, are your ideas, your concepts, your spokesperson and your brand, are they in the same quadrant? Or is the new element, like the spokesperson or the packaging or whatever it might be, is it extending the direction you were going in? You know, are you on the same path? Are you on the path that you were hoping to bring in with that new element? So I think that those are sort of the questions you want to get at by using this sort of approach.
A great example of something that we just did was looking at an in-store experience. We were looking at perceptions of a brand prior to going into a store and having an in-store experience, trying to find, you know, items on your list. And that expectation, looking at Sam, was actually better, kind of more towards what a target emotional experience would look like than after they were done completing. Right. So that we know, okay, you've done a great job as a brand of kind of trying to set expectations, right? You're in the space that you would essentially want to be, right? That more positive, more kind of exciting space. But once a consumer actually experiences your store, you're moving in the opposite direction. It's not enhancing that experience. There's some type of disconnect between what they were expecting and what the actual experience was. So then we can use that overall type of information to say, okay, now let's look at that process of when they were actually in the store. Where do we think in that process was really kind of the breaking point that pushed you in the other direction? There was probably multiple points within that. So it just gives, it's so simple that it's a great snapshot of saying, okay, here's where we're at. Let's dig deeper.
Yeah. And I do think that it's informative too, a bit of the attributes that you decide to use in the implicit, because if you have words like fresh or fruity or something like that, and say there's a high association with it, there is a potential it could be fruity, but really like maybe a sour fruit or something like that. And if people react negatively to it, but you would never know that because of, you know, the word just doesn't tell you all the dimensions that are within mm-hmm. that association. So by having the SAM complement it, we have a fuller picture of what is taking place in that perception, which is always better than not having it.
I think another really great advantage, again, being simple, is that it can be done online, right? And so, Allison, I know we always talk about how we're being pushed to, you know, make things more like faster and also cheaper. Mm-hmm. So yeah. in that direction, you know, having things move to be able to be done online as opposed to in person is a great advantage because you can increase your numbers without increasing your cost, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that we've seen obviously with COVID and things being forced more so online of people wanting to still have that experience of physiology, but they can't be in person. Now, I'm sure you guys can do hours and hours on length about any type of online biometric facial coding, online eye tracking, go for it. But SAM is a way that we can do that in a way that is validated and that we feel good about the data that we're getting, right? It's not going to be online biometrics, right? We're not call it that. That's not what it is.
Yeah. But
it is you, again, thinking about maybe those multi-dimensional look at that experience, we're able to get to that. And it's so easy. It's not adding costs. And it's so valuable. And I just, you know, want to be super transparent that people aren't always excited about SAM. And again, back to the idea of it looking antiquated, but there's such power behind that and the combination of implicit that it really deserves its own, you know, little pedestal to be put on because it is so powerful. And we need to, you know, continue to kind of educate and push it out there that this is a great tool to have. And it's so easy to integrate in.
Very informative, but I am curious, where do you think Simplicit would be best in the product development stages? Do you think it can be used in multiple places? Do you think it's best in the very beginning or at the end? What are your thoughts on that? And that could go to Michelle or Allison.
I think that we've seen these approaches work well across the board. You know, when you have prototypes, which is a little bit more early stage, I think it works out to weed through the prototypes to narrow it down. So that might be a slightly different Simplicit than you would do if you were doing more end stage type of work where you want to see, is the product experience matching the marketing or something like that. So that's going to be a different question. So a different design, but I think that, you know, slight tweaks that you can do to that design can be used anywhere along the way. And because it is cheap and easy to do, there's no reason not to do it in multiple places, I would think, because that continues to validate, you know, throughout the process of product development. So I guess I see it in multiple places, you know, not just in product development, but also I think it has a really key spot in marketing research too, communications and media.
Yeah, I agree.
To quote Michelle, it depends. So, right. You're right. Absolutely. In like very early stage product development, right? Oftentimes we're working with, let's say 12 plus prototypes. And you're asking a consumer to go through quite a few of those. You have to have a way to do that that's not going to exhaust them. Mm-hmm. And great way to do that. But also, like you said, marketing and communications, where there's very standard types of, let's say, ad evaluations, quantitative ad evaluations that are done online. This is something that's so easily integrated in. As we said, you know, it's does not add a lot of time, but it adds a lot of value. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel to add these really valuable types of measurements in.
Absolutely. And I do think it's like we've been saying, I do think that it has a lot of value in a lot of different places to really help the health of the brand or help the health of the product to kind of get that gut check to make sure that it's going in the right direction and that, you know, you're not going to invest in something that is, you know, incongruent. So you really want to be able to, again, take this tool or the marriage of these two tools and take the findings from them and implement them. So that way you kind of have these internal checks to say, okay, this is the right direction. We are, you know, it's kind of a reassurance and builds confidence a bit more to know that this is the right way to be going about things. But I know you mentioned as well, the spaces that this is useful in. And I think this kind of goes on the same idea that it could be used really anywhere. Who do you think should consider using it? I know we talked about the wellness space and a little bit about media. Are there any other places that you think could potentially benefit having Simplicit added?
I think anyone who's interested in looking at, let's say, human emotion, right? So, and that might be a simpler answer than trying to say what industries does this fit in, or even where in the process does it fit?
Mm-hmm. Because it could fit anywhere, to the points we were making before. But I think it's for people looking for a quick and easy added insight of emotions and perceptions, right? So I think stressing the importance of it being easy and cheap to, you know, incorporate into current research that you're already doing just makes it a kind of like a no-brainer to put really anywhere.
I totally agree. And is there any other things that we want to cover with Implicit before we hop into our game that is actually inspired by Implicit? So it's kind of a nice segue here.
So I think it's so simple that I think that covers it. I think the best thing would be, you know, if anybody has any questions about it, reach out and let's see how it fits, because it is pretty easy and simple to do.
Absolutely. And so we're going to hop into our segment now that it's going to be Allison's first time doing it because we just recently added it, the game React Attack. And it's inspired. It's a rapid fire association test.
Free association test.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So just say whatever comes to your mind.
And, oh, my gosh. Okay.
And it's meant to be fun.
All right. Do you have the bleep machine ready?
We'll leave that up to our producer, Helen.
Yes.
but feel free to answer honestly and quickly and okay. No filters. Let it rip.
Yes. Are you ready, Allison?
I don't know. But...
All right. It's 10 words. It's not going to be too bad. First okay. word, innovation.
Fancy. All right.
Fancy. Okay. Second word, emotions.
Happy.
Communication.
Important.
Clients.
Friends.
Good answer.
That is good. Brand harmony.
Marketing.
Performance.
Winning.
Perceptions.
Perceptions. I mind blank.
Okay, that's okay. That works too. that's still a word. predictions.
Future.
Expectations.
Needs.
And the last word, hopefully it's not too bad. Simple.
Easy.
Cool. Awesome. That's a nice way to end it. And that's the goal, is for Simplicit to be easy. So that's a great way to end it.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm
so
sorry.
Much.
I hope I was not an epic fail.
No. I think that's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yes. Good. Absolutely. So we just want to thank you so much for joining us, Allison. If people have questions for you, where can they find you and reach out?
You can find me on LinkedIn. If you go to our website and fill out the contact form, it goes right to me. That's probably also easy. We're happy for our producer, Helen, to insert email right here.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, I hope everybody takes care and stays well.
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Bye.
HCD Mindset is produced by Helen Ross. For more information or updates, follow HCD Research on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter @HCD Research Inc. and at HCD Neuroscience. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and be sure to rate, review, and follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you and stay tuned for more curious conversations.